Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 57. We're going to talk today a little bit about horse barn ventilation. I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and ag engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. And in my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. It's a commercial cattle and hay operation.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well. And there I focus on precision livestock farming. In my personal life, I focus on raising registered Angus cattle and also some goats.
And we have a special guest with us today. We have Stacy Mill. Introduce yourself.
Sure. I am a recent PhD graduate from the Biosystems and Ag Engineering Department here today. And I'm not that. I have a sport horse breeding and training operation.
And before we start with our topic, which is equine barn ventilation, we're going to do a little bit about what's been happening on the farm this week. I'm going to let Josh go first.
All right. So this weekend, we decided to work on ear tagging most of the calf, put the fly tags in, went ahead and did that. They seem to be picking up on us. Like, it got a little warmer, so the flies started to pick up pretty good. And then we also tattooed a couple of our spring calves. We got them up, and then we weighed everybody as well. And we did pregnancy testing, all the fall herd. So okay. We ran about 50 through. So that was pretty much most of Saturday.
So those results, are they coming back today from
the pregnancy? So they should be coming back today or tomorrow.
Okay, good luck.
I'm hoping, fingers crossed. And then another day we didn't move the cows because we worked them, spent all the time working them. So we had, and plus I forgot Mother's Day this weekend. It was kind of a little, wasn't able to do as much Sunday as I thought I would. So okay. We spread some manure and then we gave everybody hay. So they're still on the home farm.
They're ready to move, though, I bet.
They are angry. They are. I can't blame them. I was like, well, it's a day to move them. It's going to be a day because we have to make at least 6 trips with truck and trailer.
Yeah, we, our animals are definitely out on grass. I think they would have left the farm if we hadn't moved them already. We got our last calf on Saturday night before Mother's Day. I consider that a gift to myself for Mother's Day. And just generally rotating animals, setting up some temporary fences, things like that.
Are they still on the wheat? Or
we still have them on the wheat, but they've moved to the other side. So we split that wheat field in half. So they're on the second half now. We were looking to cut hay this week, but actually we were very lucky. We were planning to cut on Sunday, and the forecast jumped on rain for Tuesday. So we managed to hold off. Which was good. We didn't get a huge volume of rain, but it came down hard enough, and with enough volume, it would have been a problem to have hay down. So we're still looking for that window where we can start cutting hay. If we get a good one, we're ready to go at this point. Okay. Other than that, we're getting equipment ready to go. So making a few final changes there on pieces of equipment.
Baler ready to go, rake ready to go. Hay binds.
Rake's ready to go. Hay binds are ready to go. Baler, we haven't finished putting the gathering wheels on. That's on my husband's actual task for today, is to get those gathering wheels, the rubber on them, replaced.
Okay.
So that's a final task. But, I mean, ready enough to go that if it had to go in the field, it could currently. And then one of our tractors that's been out for repair is coming back this week.
Excellent.
So we're waiting on brake fluid. Always something. There's always something that is slow.
Yep.
It does not seem like we have gotten our supply chains figured out quite yet. The AGCO people who are supposed to be supplying the brake fluid said it was going to be June, so we had to go to another supplier.
Really? Yeah.
It was a little bit of a delay on that.
A delay, yeah.
So now it's coming into the person that's working on the tractors. Good.
We have lots of mowing. Things are growing quite rapidly, and the point that trying to convince horses to come in is a bit of a challenge. I definitely stood there and stared at a horse for about 5 minutes, like, no, I don't think so. This grass right here is really nice. They are quite happy. Not quite as exciting as what's happening on either of your, but
strong personalities are. It doesn't matter the species, does it? Because
no,
Josh's cows stay in on hay. I'm not sure why. My cows would be like, we'll go to the grass. You don't have to. You don't have to create an alley or anything. We'll just walk there.
Yeah, I have to be careful with at least one of them because if he does decide, he's may or may not get to the other side. There have been instances that he threw it and stopped halfway. And so the fences had to come down around him to get him out. It's like, you got yourself there. Why can't you get yourself out?
Yeah.
At least he waited patiently.
Yes. You gotta be thankful for small favors when they happen. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And this is probably going to go into our talk. Our talk today is about horse barn ventilation. But I think this is an interesting thing in that maybe people that aren't in the equine industry don't know, but you bring your horses in right now during the day.
Yes.
Which is a switch because in the winter, most people bring their horses in for the nighttime period. So you're basically putting them out in the cooler portion of the day in the summer and the warmer portion of the day in the winter. And that's a pretty standard procedure for a lot of people that use a barn and also have pastured area for their horses, right?
Yes, that is a pretty typical process. It does shift regionally. So in Florida, you probably would be out overnight all year round because that's just the way the weather goes. And I personally find it easier to work when they're in during the day because I don't have to go out and catch and bring that. But yes, they go out during the day throughout the winter, which helps. One, a lot of times it protects them from weather, snow, ice, whatnot, especially because depending on the farm and the property, you may or may not have shelter in. So most of my fields don't actually have shelter. So if I know anything is coming, having them in, especially for snow and ice, tends to be a better alternative. And there are also people that don't feed hay in the field because they're in, there's enough out there for them to nibble throughout the day, but then they come in, that's when they get their intake over. But during the summer, we flip and they're on night turnout and then come in during the day. Depending on the city, they have help cool or even bug spray is also up installs to help knock down some of the insect problems. Yeah, but yes, so my guys are all out overnight. I do have a couple have shelter during the day, but still have access to the big field. But otherwise, they.
So, here in Kentucky, we always seem to have a hot, humid, I'm assuming the same in Florida, hot, humid weather in the summertime. Those misters, is it really doing that much to keep them cool, or is it going to be circulation?
I mean, that depends on who you ask. I think there are a lot of people that think they do and help. I would expect that you're going to get more from a decent powered fan and not suspect. We do know that a decent powered fan that's putting out enough airspeed is going to be better for cooling than some of the misting products that we see just because the water droplets aren't big enough to really make an impact on that coat layer.
And you said, I try to focus in there, the decent powered fan. So obviously not a Walmart special, it's actually trying to get some actual air velocity.
Yes. And the big question and key when you're looking at a fan is really understanding what you want the fan to do. Do you want the fan to actually cool and provide airspeed across the animal for that cooling? Then you need something bigger than the box fan that you can pick up at Walmart. Any store. Potentially box fans can be useful if you're just looking to help move a little bit of air into a space, but know that it's not going to do anywhere near the amount of air movement into a space that one of the
like a dedicated circulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like we have those circulation fans and it's like, where do you put them? In the stall. I mean, does placement really matter?
It, I hate to say it depends, but it really depends. And this goes to knowing and understanding what you need to have happen in your barn. We do see a lot of people that put them up at the eave level or at the top of the wall, blowing down in onto the animal. If you have a barn that has good ridge ventilation, so has a capped ridge vent or even a functioning cupola, placing it up on top of the wall on the side that the ridge vent is on isn't going to really help you, because you're going against what the ventilation in the facility wants to do.
Against the flow.
Exactly. There are places that will put them on an outer wall at an open eave so that they're actually hopefully drawing fresh air into the facility. And it is a question of, are you bringing air in or are you just mixing the air that's already in the building? And in a lot of cases, the fans that you find in mix air that's already there.
And I see, you know, a lot of these equine facilities, they seem to be designed like a box, a mm-hmm. closed box. And they look aesthetically pleasing, but, you know, I don't think a lot of concern has been paid to the ventilation aspect. So my question would be, you know, how many air exchanges do we need in these facilities? Ideally, I mean, for the summer, like just a rough estimate.
I think you can use, and we do typically use the similar numbers that you would see in like a dairy cattle or poultry. Obviously, our stocking density is not quite as high because we do have nice dedicated areas in our barns, and each stall is dedicated to a horse. But we need substantially more air exchanges than we're seeing. I would say anywhere from, even ideally, we would like upwards of 20 potentially, but
in the summer.
But even 5 or 10 would be better than what we see in a lot of facilities.
And I guess, you know, how would producers know that they'd potentially have a problem? I mean, what's the tells?
Well, when you start to get up to good air exchange, and when we talk about it, and it always is interesting because we're talking about complete air exchange. So a complete volumetric change out of air in that space. And when we talk about even 10 air changes per hour, that is every 6 minutes, we are moving a full volume of air through that building. So your air is going to be moving pretty fast. And so if you don't have decent air movement across your skin and you can't feel the air speed, then your barn's not moving enough air.
It's going to be pretty stale. Most of these barns.
And yes, stale. They can be stale. They get hot. Sometimes they smell, because we still have ammonia and manure and all of that to deal with. And while, you know, stalls are cleaned on a daily basis, that still is a problem. They are.
It'll even affect your rafters too.
I would say one of the things she didn't mention, but like, you see a lot of spider webs, and yes. birds that nest in the trusses and in the rafters, and both, you know, most of the bug populations that live there plus the birds don't like high air speeds. So wherever they are indicates those are spots that don't have airspeed. So that's usually a pretty good indicator that we're low on airspeed. And we see a lot of people will have like huge amounts of spider webs, especially in the spring, because over the winter they've closed up those barns and those spiders have gone crazy all winter. And then when they open things up in the summer to try and get more air movement because it's hot, sometimes they can, I mean, it's not that they go away, but it does reduce, which is kind of interesting to see.
And, you know, we think, like if you looked at this, you said the ridge line ventilation was very cupola-less as well. So, you know, for these facilities, having that, you know, for the dairy facilities, had a large open sidewall, they get some wind-driven ventilation. And then, like I said, the natural buoyancy effects. Like, how important is that?
I would say, is vitally important. You have got to have some sort of way for that air, that stale air that is going to go to the top of your building anyway, to get out of the barn. It's going to happen. You have animals that are producing, have things that are going to create that hotter air that wants to rise up to the top. And so having ideally capped ridge vents over cupolas. Cupolas don't have quite the air exchange capabilities that a ridge vent would have. But it even becomes even more of an issue if you're storing your hay in a hay loft over, ideally not over your stalls, but if they're over, if it's over your aisleway, that typically is the tallest part of your barn. That's where your ridge vents are ideally, but if they're not, then that's where that stale air and is just kind of stacking in. And now you've got hay that you're going to be bringing down to animals that has been sitting in less than ideal conditions.
Right. Additional moisture, additional. Mm-hmm. Huh. And so if you had to, so with all these barns they have, if you had to redesign, so you would go in there, we have this barn. Is it going to be east-west facing? Is the longest side? Which does the orientation really matter as well? Or is yes, no, maybe?
So much like the dairy cattle facilities they're talking about, we rely heavily on ventilation. We do potentially have fans, but most of the fans are mixing fans rather than bringing air in from the outside. So you still want to orient that towards the long side, preferably on the prevailing, to the prevailing wind, so that that prevailing wind comes in and does hit that long side of the barn. If I could add two things to almost any of the barns that I think would help tremendously, would be eave openings that are open all year round, that don't get closed up like the windows on the sidewalls, and then ridge vents that are also open all year long. I think that would do a lot to help the facilities. I don't think we'll ever get air speeds and air exchange up to the levels that ideally we would have, but I don't know that there are many that truly are there.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the animal species that have a lot of heat pressure here in the Southeast, I mean, our broiler industries certainly are hitting those air exchange rates that we're talking about, but and even the swine industry, because they're pretty sensitive to heat, they don't sweat. They kind of are forced to reckon with it. Where horses are excellent sweaters and very adaptive to heat, on top of which they get clipped so that they don't have long coats. They have a lot of things going for them to manage heat stress.
Yes.
So they're not under the same pressure.
Right.
They maybe should be, but they're not under the same pressure that some of the other animal species are for heat stress management. The one thing I think that's really interesting is that, you know, that the industry has moved towards a metal-sided barn because of the look, but man, they don't like to put in doors and windows. And when we talk about wind, wind is going to give much higher air exchange rates than, say, a buoyancy-driven or a natural ventilation where we're using buoyancy or that heat rising phenomenon. And there, it's a fight to convince people to put in an exterior fully grated door or a large window in each stall. And there's a lot of cost associated with it. I know that that's a major cost, but if you have a big grated door on the outside, on the sidewall where it receives the wind, and a fully grated front panel on that stall, and a fully grated panel on the next stall, and then another door, you actually have a pathway for air to move across a building. If you don't have any of that, you might as well turn the barn 90 degrees and at least let the alleyway have ventilation through it.
Right.
And that's not to say that I'm encouraging you to do that, but but if people are not willing to put any openings on the sidewall at all other than the eave, they don't get a huge benefit from the from taking advantage of a good orientation, which is, it's a hard sell. And to be fair, I think every part of building a horse barn is expensive. So I you know, as a person who's like has to think about costs on a day-to-day basis on my farm, I know why people don't want to do it. It's very expensive to put in a fully grated door. But if I'm talking about air quality and I'm going to have to run fans and I'm going to change out fans every year, every other year, I have a lot of costs associated with that too. It's a capital cost versus an operating cost that I'm going to have to tease out which one's better. But in the long run, if you could put in the money up front on the capital cost, I think in the long run, on a 20 or 30 year lifespan on a barn, you'd still come out ahead.
Yeah, pay itself off.
And some of the most comfortable facilities I've been in have had fully graded front and back walls or fully graded doors in their sidewalls at every stall. And then had exhaust fans ridge so that they were actively forcing air out of the barn. And yes, it was loud. There was a lot of noise. There was a decent amount of air moving. And it was an incredibly pleasant place to be because see how happy the horses were and the air. And we weren't, it wasn't a warm day, but it wasn't a cool day. And so it was just a really nice facility to be in because they had worked really hard to make sure that they had plenty of air movement.
You know, I think they had said, like, for the dairy structure, I know the height of the barn can be important, as well as the slope of the roof. And then is it still the same as with the dairy, like 3 inches per 10 foot for the ridge vent?
I don't think you need a full 3. I don't think we have the stocking density in there for that. But I think 1 to 2 inches would be very appropriate on most of the.
Is height still really important for the?
It's critically important. The height is, I mean, for anyone who's unfamiliar with natural ventilation processes, we call it buoyancy-driven ventilation, but it's essentially a chimney. We're creating a chimney in the space, and chimneys draw based on height. So the delta T, the amount of heat being produced in the space by the animals, creates a warmer temperature inside the barn. That warmer air rises, and then it has to come out somewhere. So like Stacy said, we don't put an outlet there. It just builds up in the ceiling or up along the roof line, and it brings hot, stale, moist air up there. And then we have moisture, microbes, other things up there that we don't necessarily want. But if we give ourselves a nice steep roof and an opening at the top and a big enough opening to let the air actually escape, we get draw. It literally draws just like a chimney does. And so that slope on that roof is really important. A flat roof will never give us what we need.
Exactly.
A good 412. And if you look at old, beautiful old barns around here, a lot of them are 612 pitch.
Yes.
They're very steep. And now they used to put a loft in there to put hay in, which was a practical thing. But they also used to put vents in over their stalls so that air could come up from the stalls and make it out. So it's really an interesting, they used to understand a lot of these ventilation concepts that we now struggle with because we use a lot of HVAC systems in our houses. We have ductwork and other things. We don't depend on a chimney to draw to heat our house the way we used to. So we're not sort of forced to reckon with that concept on a day-to-day basis the way it used to be critical.
I was in a older stable outside of Boston, Massachusetts, actually. That they had chimneys fully built in every couple of spaces that went, it bypassed the hayloft and went straight through and out the roof. And it was one of the coolest things I think I have seen because it had, you know, they had converted the loft into another space, but that was original construction on this stable that was allowing that air to just be moved straight out of the building. So it was legitimately a chimney.
Yeah, and I've actually seen the same thing on a barn in Maryland, Washington. Actually, it was a USDA facility. It was an old horse barn that had been modified, but it still had those same chimneys in it. It was a design that was actually fairly common early 1900s, late 1800s, those older barns when they really were focused on ventilation and good how heat.
Huh.
Kind of wild to see.
Yeah, I know. Like, we just lost some of that inherent knowledge to some degree.
And that's the other thing. Around here, we have tobacco barns. So, like, our inherent knowledge on ventilation comes maybe from a little bit different perspective, and it comes from the tobacco industry curing out leaves, and those barns ventilate.
Yes.
So people that are modifying them for beef, for dairy, for equine, for all of these, they are inherently typically placed in spots where they get ventilation because they get good wind speeds on a hill, on a ridge, on an area that picks up wind. And they have enough breaks between slats on the wall. The wooden wall has enough space between it to allow air through. And so that's the other barns that I think we've seen that are ones that are retrofits that still have the wooden sides.
I think pains me. Tobacco barn. I did. And then they end up with the little windows that had been put in to the wood-sided facility, and they don't necessarily make the windows any bigger. It's just a lot to see.
Yeah, because they had a perfect facility that would ventilate, and then they have closed it in such a way that it can do what it was designed to do. Kind of wild.
Dang.
But I think if you were to give someone recommendations here going into summer, you know, they're not going to change what they have in a facility right now. What would you say they're doing in their barns to try and...
You can take advantage of fans and using fans, but I think you have to be really, really purposeful about it. So it's not just mixing the air that you have in the facility with stall fans. But it's also actively bringing air in to the barn. And just because it's nice in the aisleway does not mean that it is nice in the stalls. If you have the opportunity and the ability to open side of the building, definitely do it to maximize that air in. And unfortunately, you can't necessarily change the structure of a building easily or cheaply in a lot of cases. But really trying to maximize what you have to provide the most environment and to really focus on moving that stale air out. And if at all possible, that is not really a great place to store, hay, especially if you have no roof.
You would analyze, too, getting the airflow. You know, angle the fan. Are we putting it at the 4-foot level at the animal height, or are we putting it towards the ground? Which one was preferred?
If you are looking at and potentially have babies and young foals that are going to spend a lot of time down at the ground level, potentially having something down lower so that you can move anything that may sit at the ground level up and out is not a bad idea. Within reason, because you also don't want too big of a draft on them because you are a young animal. Depending on the type of fan that you're using, you do have to be careful about the angle that they're at. So unfortunately, if you are using something like a box fan, you don't want to tilt those because they then become more fire hazards than they already are. But if you do have good eave openings and you can put a higher velocity fan on the eave side, having it up higher is not necessarily a bad idea. But you don't want to be pulling air from the top of your barn down onto your horses if you don't have openings on the eave side or ridge ventilation. Then you're just mixing stale air back around your last thing.
Yeah, I think the horse barns are really interesting. People make different decisions for different reasons in them, but it is really interesting to see. Very consistently, people want those fans, but they don't know what they're using, or they think they're using them for a variety of things, and they're actually not achieving some of their goals. Or they might achieve other things that are good, but they're not necessarily the targets they were aiming for.
No, and most of the fans that you can get, you're not going to get like widespread fly control because you don't have fast enough air to inhibit a lot of the flies and pests that in horse barns. So really understanding and being really thoughtful about why you're using certain pieces of equipment is important on any farm, but especially when you're looking at electric constantly on.
I think that's a pretty good summary of horse barn ventilation.
Yeah, I think it is.
Let's go ahead and give everyone sort of an update on what's happening on the farms next week. These are just goals, Stacey. We're not going to hold you to any of them, I promise.
We're really going to try to move the cows this weekend. Really? I mean, no, they have to move this weekend because I got my fields, or they needed them a week ago. Oh. To actually be productive raising. So, my fields are heading out. We need to We're 99% sure we can start cutting hay if we had to.
Yeah. We are hoping to start cutting hay. If the weather holds the way the pattern looks right now, we will be cutting this coming weekend. I mean my husband, because I actually have a conference Monday through Wednesday. Sunday through Wednesday. Stacy and I will be going to Tennessee next week. So I don't know what you have to do. I have prep work to be able to leave. So making sure we have all of our temporary fences set up, making sure we've done some things. We brought feed in last week into our bins and things like that. Just making sure all that stuff is done so that my husband has a little bit easier time with me being in and out of.
Yeah, definitely prepping toward the end of the week. Make sure that ready for one of the caregivers to go out of town. Hopefully the weather is decent enough that they may stay out a day or two just to lighten that load, because a lot of work bringing in and out. I have to do some maintenance in wheat. That is, I've got some fence lines that are looking scraggly that need to have that knocked down.
Pretty good set of stuff to work on this week.
Be busy. Good goals.
So
good goals.
So with that, we'll end our podcast today, and we'll be back next week with another podcast. And we'll see you guys then.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.